Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
More yo-yoing on Chinese markets.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. There was more volatility in Chinese stocks today. The Shanghai Composite fell over 7% at one point before ending the day up 2.5%. Jamil Andolini is a correspondent for the Financial Times in Hong Kong. I asked him why the market was such a roller coaster today.
Well, I think what we saw is a continuation of this market slump that began last Wednesday. The Chinese government tripled the stamp tax on all stock transactions, and we saw the market fall 6.5% that day. We've seen it sliding since then, probably a lot more than the government intended, actually. And in the afternoon, there were a whole lot of rumors flying around that the government was actually going to step back in and try and support the market. As you can see, the stock market investors in China, they wait on every word that the government has to say, because the government has the tendency to step in and act to make the market move in the way it wants.
Do you think we've seen the end of the volatility? Is this going to continue for the rest of the week?
I think the volatility in China is going to continue as long as the government continues to intervene in the market. I think when it sees the market going up too fast, like as in the last 2 years, the market's actually quadrupled. The government sees that as a bubble, but people were still jumping in because they saw so many other people get rich. You're talking huge numbers of people, huge numbers of investors, huge amounts of money, and you're talking about a government that worries about the stock market because it sees it as an issue of social stability. In China, if the stock market crashes, you have a lot of middle-class people who are very annoyed, and they're the main constituency of the Communist Party these days.
Jamil Andolini, correspondent for the Financial Times in Hong Kong, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
So far today, European markets are trading higher. Yesterday was another record breaker on Wall Street. The Dow gained 8 points to close at a record high of 13,676. The Nasdaq added 4 points. It opens this morning at 2618. And the S&P eased up 2 points, but also closed with a record high of 1539. If you're heading into a Starbucks today, you'll be part of a worldwide marketing extravaganza. And no, it's not for the coffee. It's for Paul McCartney's new album, Memory Almost Full. That's the first CD on the Starbucks music label, and the company's promotion is Grande. Jeremy Hobson has a story.
Everybody gonna dance tonight. Everybody gonna feel all right.
That song, Dance Tonight, and the rest of McCartney's new album will be on repeat today, all day, at more than 10,000 Starbucks locations around the world. Media consultant Aram Sinreich says Starbucks isn't afraid to get into the declining CD market because it can promote its CDs in-house.
Companies like Starbucks have the capacity to innovate in marketing, distribution, and promotion in a way that the traditional major labels don't.
He says that's because Starbucks is everywhere. It's like a radio station with millions of listeners. Michelle Farber is one of them. She spends hours in a Washington, D.C. Starbucks, but may forego Starbucks coffee today.
Even songs that I love, I don't want to hear over and over and over again. But it's better than the jazz that they've been playing.
In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
The Russian government has banned the export of body parts, and the drug testing industry has taken notice. The British firm Astran provides clinical trials for some of the world's biggest pharmaceutical companies, which uses suppliers from Russia. Its shares lost more than 20% yesterday. Officially, Russia says it's concerned that the body parts might fall into the wrong hands and be used by terrorists. But analysts think this may just be a symptom of political tension between Russia and the West on the eve of this week's G8 summit.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management, Mellon.com. And by Fox Searchlight, presenting Once, the tale of two kindred spirits making music and finding romance on the bustling streets of Dublin, now playing in select theaters. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation, online at kauffman.org.
The Convention on International Trade and Endangered Species is meeting in Geneva through June 15th. Representatives from over 100 nations are discussing plans to limit commerce on endangered plants and animals. Increased protection for whales, sawfish, and Brazilian spiny lobsters are on the agenda. Ever wonder how some animals get a lot of attention and others don't? Commentator Bruce Franklin says it all comes down to who represents you.
The menhaden is a runt of a fish, small, smelly, bony, and oily. You wouldn't eat it, and you sure wouldn't hang it on your wall. Now, when it comes to saving threatened species, looks shouldn't matter, but they do. We respond to the charismatic megafauna, the big, beautiful dolphins, whales, elephants, swordfish, polar bears. They inspire celebrities, money, boycotts, and laws to save them. So, will the new Darwinism mean that this runty fish has to compete on American Idol? But this small, bony, oily little fish just happens to be, by far, the most important fish in the sea. Almost all our prized fish, as well as mammals and seabirds, feed on menhaden. They filter marine waters, preventing algal blooms. Think of them as the ocean's liver. Although the ecosystem needs them, more menhaden have been hauled out of American waters than all other fish combined. Each year, a single company, Omega Protein, boils and grinds millions of tons of Atlantic and Gulf menhaden, converting them into oils and meal that reappear as lipstick, chicken feed, linoleum, cat food. Not surprisingly, the menhaden have begun to vanish. 13 Atlantic states have now outlawed this rogue industry, but Virginia and North Carolina still allow it, and that's a tragedy. In the Chesapeake Bay alone, Omega Protein still sweeps up hundreds of millions of menhaden every year. In 2006, their catch was at a record low, and that's an ominous sign. So why do we allow this to continue? Maybe the problem is that the fish needs an agent more than it needs an advocate, someone to give it a makeover, as they say in the business.
Bruce Franklin is the author of The Most Important Fish in the Sea. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.